My name is Steve, and I'm a compulsive eater from Simi Valley, California. I want to thank Suzanne for asking me. It's an honor to be a keynote speaker and to share my experience, strength, and hope with you today. I really just want to say thank you. Before I get into about me, I'd like to thank the committee for a great conference. I mean, it's pretty much, this is my first convention for CEA How, so my notes. All right, so first and foremost, I said I'm a compulsive eater from Simi Valley, California. I like to get away, get, you know, through my qualifications, my numbers, and I like to get those out of the way. So my abstinence date is December 29th of 2014. My top weight, not in program, was 335 pounds. But I've been maintaining in program 29 pounds, and I've been maintaining that for 4.5 years, which is only through the grace of this program. So I guess I'll just start what it was like, what happened to change me, and where I am today. I think that's probably a good place to go. So for me, you know, I live in Simi Valley with my wife. I grew up in a loving family, and but I can tell you that my constant in my family was all about the food, believe it or not. And so, you know, my memories from growing up were pretty much all the restaurants in my hometown. And I even think about, I can't say I think about them today, but I think about each place, what I did to get to each place, and then what I would get off the menu. And I was pretty much, I heard it yesterday at the skit. But it was like it didn't matter what they had on the menu, I was always getting the same thing. And I figured that was going to fill my whatever. And so that was pretty much how I lived my life, you know, and I went through the motions. I was, you know, like I said, I'm the youngest of three kids. And so my story is that I didn't think I was doing anything different than anybody else. But my body was changing. And not to the good part, you know. And I started feeling different, you know. And as I went through high school, I was not good enough to make the teams. I was on the weight training team, you know. And so like that feeling of being ridiculed, of being picked last, and you know, and just those awful feelings, just because of the way I looked. I went through that. I went through that in high school. I went through that in middle school. Even in elementary school, I remember, this is a long time ago. I'm not as young as you guys think I am. So I remember getting in a fight with somebody, and I remember my brother being at the school and rooting for the other kid, you know? Oh! So, you know, these are memories that I have from, you know, eating compulsively and having a problem with food, you know, and not really being able to control what I was doing, where I was, you know, where I was going, you know, and being, I'm not even sure I was in that category of husky, you know. I don't know why that word came to me this morning, but I'm like, that was not me. So my experience was is shopping in the Big and Tall store and hoping that it would fit after I washed it. You know, that is my experience growing up. And so, you know, as a compulsive eater, I just didn't know when to say, stop. I didn't know. And I was a sneak eater. I was, I hid my food. I did pretty much everything that I'm sure all of you did, you know. And you know, the grace of this program tells me that it doesn't matter that I'm from Simi Valley or somebody's from, you know, Colorado or the speaker on Friday from New Hampshire, I think it was. You know, or somebody who's on the phone bridge meeting and they're in Israel. We share a disease of compulsive eating, you know, and so I can identify with you and as you do with me. And so, you know, I'm sure my upbringing is maybe a little bit different than yours, but we share in the same compulsion and the same problem, so to speak, just in a different, you know, different path. And so I'm grateful today that I had those experiences. You know, looking back, I was like, why me? Why do I have to go through this? You know, why am I different than my friends? You know, and I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't stop eating compulsively. And for me, it was like I ate breakfast and then I ate a snack and then lunch and then something else and then another meal and then another meal. And I didn't know when to say stop. I just didn't know, you know, and you would think people, you know, my family members would just say, don't you think you've had enough? That's like the worst thing to say to a compulsive eater. No, I haven't had enough. Pass that plate down. So, you know, my addiction tells me, you know, and I just stole this from somebody in program. I'll show you, I'll hurt me. And so that's the mentality, is like, you wrong me or you say something that I don't like, I'm going to do something to hurt myself and just feel worse, you know? And so that's kind of how I did things growing up. I didn't really have a program. I kind of wish I had a program when I was like 15 or 16. Then I could deal with things. But I probably didn't have the maturity. I didn't have the mindset back then, you know? And back then, I wanted that simple solution. I wanted that simple fix that was going to heal me forever, and I didn't have to do any work, you know? And so, you know, I think about the conference name, The Joy of Living, you know? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, The Joy of Living, how am I, you know, joy of living for me today without the bondage of being a compulsive eater? That is a miracle, you know? That's a miracle that I can stand up here and talk about that. You know, and so the joy of living is just that, is it doesn't have to be some like quantum physics thing. It could just be showing up and waking up and attending a workshop or hearing a message from somebody that I would have never talked to, you know, or being present, the freedom, you know, of being free from this disease. And you know, I'd love to say that it's not about the weight. That is a part of it. But the idea today that I can just go somewhere and really not even be obsessed about sugar or flour is an absolute, I mean, that has been taken out of my, well, it hasn't been taken out of my vocabulary, but it's taken out of my thought process on a daily basis or on a minute-by-minute basis. Thank you. And so for me, what it was like was going to baseball games where I couldn't fit in the seats, you know? And then I stopped going to baseball games, which I love. Anybody who knows me, or hopefully those that know me, my passion is I love baseball games. My wife and I, we love baseball games. And I'll get into that later, but, you know, our bucket list is to visit all the baseball stadiums, you know, and get bobbleheads from each stadium. So pretty cool deal, right? That could be the joy of living right there. But the idea is that for me, I just started doing these things, and, you know, the bondage of self, of just repeating the same behavior over and over and over again, saying tomorrow's going to be different. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. And then it was just repeating the same behavior, you know, and not knowing, like having the mindset of wanting to be able to stop, but not being able to stop. And so another thing that I heard in program, and, you know, somebody said it, you know, conferences are such a great place to be. And number one, for the reason of, you might hear something that'll change your program forever, you know, and I share with you this. I went to a conference in another fellowship back in 2005, and I heard something that changed my program and changed the trajectory of where I was going. It's called Roping the Program. That was the title of it. And so the idea is that, you know, I learned that in order to get something that I don't have, I have to be willing to do something that I haven't done before, you know? And I'll repeat that. In order to get something that I don't have, I have to be willing to do something that I've never done. And so the idea is, if I keep going through the same motions, the same routines, the same whatever diet centers or whatever it is, I'm going to keep getting the same results. And so For me, contrary action is a really big thing. It's big because it's doing something completely different than I would normally do. You know, and so contrary action is I found this sponsor. I don't know if my sponsor's here today. But you all know him because I think he's the chairman, right? Michael. Yeah. He is my sponsor. So I could tell you that I would never have picked him out of a lineup to be my sponsor. But there, you know, and I'm sort of kind of jumping around, but I will tell you this much. When I say taking contrary action, he has asked me to do things, and I have kind of worked with him and taken action to take things out of my food plan, even being in maintenance for 4 years or however long I've been in maintenance, and doing things differently because I can't achieve a result unless I take the action over here. You know, it just doesn't work. And so, you know, as a compulsive eater, as an addict in general, I want to find the easy way out. I want to find the loophole. I want to find the magic pill. But I know that that doesn't exist. And so for me, you know, doing something different is important. And so I kept doing all these things, and I'm like, how do I stop eating compulsively? You know, how do I stop doing what I'm doing, you know? And what happened was, is my story is that I had some friends. My wife and I had a one-bedroom apartment, not very big, but we had some friends over at our house for Christmas. And this is before program, and I wasn't eating bad back then. I mean, that bad. I think I still was eating somewhat healthy. But, you know, we had lots of stuff on our table, and we were talking to these friends. They were program friends, and one of the guys said, you know, I just haven't found the right sponsor. And I thought, there but for the grace of God go I. Because my path and my course has been, I'm looking for that guy that, or that person that's got exact physical recovery. He's going to tell me what I want to hear. Like, you want to do that, Steve? Go right ahead. And I could tell you that that guy doesn't exist. He only exists in my mind, you know? And so I was thinking, that's what I needed to hear. I mean, I'm not endorsing, like, everyone have friends over for Christmas or that situation, but it just happened to be, for me, that was what I needed to hear at that moment. And so I thought, oh, well, I'm going about this the completely wrong way. You know, instead of going there looking for a sponsor, I'm just going to find a sponsor, you know? And so my story is that I decided to go to a meeting with this particular gentleman who probably needs our program, you know, but I wasn't there to tell him that he needed the program, and I didn't know if I needed it. I was familiar with another program. I had a friend of mine introduce me to OA. And I remember somebody asked me I asked somebody to be my sponsor. And he said, are you willing to go to any length? And I said, no. I mean, I wasn't willing to go to any length. I wasn't willing to open up the big book. Somebody gave me the big book and I used it as a doorstop. I mean, I just wasn't willing, you know, and it's like, for me, it just takes whatever it takes. And so, for me, I just wasn't willing to do that, and I mean, you know, I told him the truth. And so my story starts how I got to my first meeting. My friend said, I'll meet you at the Lake Balboa meeting, which I think has moved, but it was in, like, well, if you're familiar with Southern California, it's in Southern California. In the valley. I don't know how to better explain it. Isn't it Lake Balboa? Encino, there you go. So I showed up at that meeting. My friend did not. But I did. And I could tell you today that there was like a half a dozen ladies in that meeting. You know, and I mean, you know, I sponsor both men and women, but I think it's important, especially if you're new or, you know, even with inventory, I believe in women sponsoring women and men sponsoring men. And so I think I really felt like I needed a man sponsor. But these women were so kind, and I go to meetings with them even today. And they said, why don't you try this meeting, the Coyote Cafe meeting in North Hollywood. So I went there. And sure enough, there were guys, and I thought, this is great. And for me, what attracted me was the physical recovery. You know, I thought, this is kind of cool, like, you know, 75 pounds, that's what I want, you know? And so I wrote down some names on a piece of paper, and they started, you know, they were all standing up. It was like the seven tools, although I didn't really know. I was like, what are they doing? And sure enough, you know, I wrote down these names, and Michael stood up, and he said, you know, not available. And I thought, you know, that pit in that part of your stomach where you get the courage to, like, ask somebody, and then they say, no, I'm not available. It's like, oh, are you serious? Well, that, you know, maybe this isn't for me, you know? And so I learned this from my mother-in-law. I love her. She passed last year, stage 4 cancer, but I spent so many great memories with her. And the one thing that she taught me, I'm going to try not to cry. She taught me that no's are free. She's a politician. But she said no's are free, you know, and I can tell you that as an addict, that I'll walk into a room and already have my mindset that you're not going to do that for me, or that's not going to happen, or asking the chef if something has sugar or flour in it. And instead of asking, I just eat something that I shouldn't eat, or I don't eat, or I hurt myself. And so the idea is like, I went ahead and asked Michael anyways to be my sponsor. He actually heard me talking to someone. He said, why don't you call me at 11 o'clock today? I said, okay, I could do that. So I called him at 11 o'clock, and he said, all right, well, this is what you do. I'll give you the questions every day and get a journal and call me in the morning and we'll set a goal weight and do this. I said, I can do that. And so I started doing question by question, day by day, and I could tell you the first couple days were really difficult for me. The quantities, I couldn't figure out how somebody could eat like 16 ounces or even 24 ounces of vegetables. I'm like, I've got the big, like, mixing bowl, you know? And then, but, you know, as you progress in program, you learn that there's different vegetables that weigh more than others. So now I got heavier vegetables. And I eat less of them. That was pretty good. So, you know, so one day became two became three, and I pretty much just followed directions. You know, I took directions from my sponsor, which is, that for me, that's taking contrary action. He said, get up and call me at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's what I did. He said, I wouldn't recommend going out to eat. I'd just eat at home. And that was difficult, because here's a guy, a compulsive eater, that most of my life, I was going out to eat, like, every night of the week. I can share with you that when I married my wife, and some of you know my wife, she's in this room, Kathy F. over here. Kathy! Stand up! Yeah! That was not the introduction I was hoping for. No, I'm just kidding. So, now I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, when I got married. We were doing our budget. And she said, how much money do you spend going out? I said, I don't know, $1,500? I mean, it was like a huge amount of money. She's like, that's just not going to work for us. And so, you know, we've adjusted. And you know, but I followed my sponsor's suggestions, and I did not eat out as much. And you know, as I progress in my story, you'll understand the paradox to that. I guess the paradox to that. And so I continued doing one thing in front of the other. I got on the scale the first month, and I think I dropped like 16 pounds. I was like, holy, wow, this works. You know, I mean, I saw a number that I'd never seen before. You know, and so I just started taking, you know, action. I started doing the inventory steps, and he said, you know, you can do one a day, you can do five a day. I don't remember how long I did my inventory steps or how long it took, but I just kept doing one question. And the thing about the writing for me is that I don't worry if I've got a one-word answer or if I've got an essay. And the reason why is tomorrow I have another question, you know? As long as I put pen to paper, I'm doing the right thing, you know? And there's a saying that says, there's no wrong way to do the right thing, you know? And so the idea is like, if my intentions are to sit down and do my writing, who cares? I mean, if I sit there and think, well, I'm not writing as much as Julie over there or Maggie, I'll never compare to anything and I'll never go anywhere. But I have to know that I am enough, that I do enough, and that, you know, my sponsor, the one thing he teaches me is that I don't need to be better than the program. I just need to do the program. You know, I don't need to be the best See How member, just the best See How member in Simi Valley. No. I just have to do the program. And so, you know, that's how I found the program, and I've continued to do the steps and continue to work with sponsees. And thank you. Sorry, I wasn't looking over there. Yeah, nothing personal, T. So I continue to work the steps and work the program. And, you know, what is my life like today? Remember I told you I didn't eat out very often? My life is really difficult today. My job has me traveling about 80 days out of the year. So I spend a lot of time in hotels. I spend a lot of time eating out. And what does that mean for my program? I'm still abstinent today. You know? And the thing is like I told you about the bucket list that my wife and I do. We've been to multiple cities around the United States. Yes, they have great food, but they also have abstinent food, you know? And when the food becomes more important than the activity or the person, then I'm doing the wrong thing, you know? And because that controlled my relationships when I was 335 pounds. The food was way more important. Now I can be around somebody and not even worry. I mean, I talk about in this program that some days my food is glorious. Like on Friday and Saturday night, my food was glorious here. But when I'm traveling through an airport and I've got whatever, you know, mismatched stuff and it's just abstinent, that's it. It's one meal. You know, I'm not going to die. You know, and do I like it? I don't have to like it, but at least I'm abstinent, you know, and I know that I'm doing the right thing. And so I go to meetings on a regular basis. I make a lot of phone bridge meetings. Somebody said, what was your home meeting? I don't know. I make the 7 a.m. meeting, sometimes the 10 if I can, the 6. And then if I'm traveling, I try to make the 9 p.m. meeting if I'm sitting in my hotel room. Whatever it may be, if I'm driving on the road, you know, it doesn't take that long to just press a button that says phone bridge, you know, and not just being on the call, but to participate. You know, I have a forever abstinent book in my car that I take with me wherever I go. You know, when we're in New York City or we're in Pittsburgh or St. Louis, we go to a meeting. And if there's no meeting, we make a phone bridge meeting. I mean, that's just how it goes, you know, and so my disease doesn't take a break. Even though I'm on vacation, it's not on vacation too. It's not like I don't have the luxury of just going to like, I'm just going to say, next week I'm going to San Jose on business. I don't have the luxury to just go up there and just eat whatever I want to eat because I'm a compulsive eater, you know? And do I have to tell the whole world that? I don't have to tell the whole world. If somebody asked me a question, I could answer it. But I can work my program. And my program travels with me, you know, and one of the things that I do is, and I heard it in the rooms here, is if I fail to plan, I plan to fail, you know, and through the grace of this program, I talk about it in my shares all the time. Is it a convenient program? Absolutely not. It is very inconvenient to pack a suitcase and have to pack 10 pounds of vegetables with me and my, you know, and all my fruits and, you know, God forbid, that the plane goes down, I'm not going to have that stuff, you know? So I can share with you that, like, you know, I spend a lot of time preparing. You know, I make sure I go to whichever store it is, and, you know, I'm their best, you know, fruit and vegetable guy. It was last night. I love that skit. Like, all the, you know, you're a compulsive eater when all the fruits and vegetables are gone. And so, does it take a lot of time to prepare? Absolutely. Here's a great story. I've got two stories, and I think I'm good? Wow. All right, I'm good. This is good. Yeah. More. Here's a great story. So before I came into program, and this just really quantifies or really explain, well, you know I'm a compulsive eater already. But I needed to buy a scale. I mean, not a food scale, but like a scale. And this was before program. So I went into one of those stores that have scales, right? And being the compulsive weigher that I am, I'd like to say raise your hand if any of you have done this, but so I'm like, how am I going to buy a scale? How do I know which one is the best one for me? So here I am, taking off my shoes, putting them on the floor, taking off my belt. All right, let me get on this one. Which one do you think I bought? The one that had the lowest number. You think I'm in the right place today? Come on. So, you know, I can laugh at that today, you know, and even today in maintenance, it's like I still have problems with the scale. I'm like, you know, all right, did I cut my hair? Did I go to the bathroom? Wait a second. Okay, you know. You know, and so, like, you know, these are things that I'm so glad that I could laugh with you on. It's great, you know. But doing good things for my program is important. I can share that my wife and I, we were going out somewhere to some engagement. And we got, like, it was out in the Inland Empire. We live in Simi Valley, so it was a good hour and a half out. We forgot our scale. So the options were, and I'm not saying that I always have a scale with me. I try to always do, but sometimes I just don't. The options were either to wing it or to stop in a store and spend $20 or $25 and buy a food scale. We stopped at the store to buy the food scale. You know? Like, so, I mean, it seems like trivial, like, oh, wow. I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't know if I'd do that again, but maybe I would. What am I willing to do for my recovery today? You know, if I'm not willing to do that, then what am I willing to do? You know, it's like, is it inconvenient? I mean, I'm not going to ask the chef to look at the ingredients level, you know, label in a restaurant. I'm going to ask him. But I really liked that skit about honey last night. Because I could tell you, I got some salad dressing a couple months ago that had honey in it. I took one bite, I was like, doesn't taste right. And knowing that it had honey, I didn't eat it, you know? And so like today, I'm just willing to do different things. I'm willing to go to any length. And so I do a lot of preparation. Like I said, I do a lot of traveling. And sometimes my food gets a little out of whack. My sponsor is very forgiving, very loving, even though he's very direct, if you know Michael. You know, and I can tell you that it hasn't always been perfect. There was a time when he was in the hospital and he had some serious health problems. And I went through two or three different temporary sponsors. One didn't work out, and one was really difficult for me that almost pushed me out of the program. Because I just could not, like, I went from this, like, being flexibility to, like, this. And it was really difficult for me. But I pushed through it, and luckily, Michael brought me back on, and thank God he is my sponsor today, you know, and so I think sometimes, do I have this loving relationship with him? Do I hang out with him? Do I spend hours or 20 or 30 minutes with him on the phone? Nope. He's not my friend. He's not my friend. He's my sponsor. If I have a question about the program, I ask him. If I need guidance in something that I haven't done before, I ask him. But I pretty much spend about a minute with him on the phone every morning. I give him my food. I give him my question. If I'm working, I mean, I do a lot of public speaking. So, thank you. I do a lot of public speaking in that I'm a trainer, per se. So I'm behind the microphone quite a bit. But this is still, for me, it's comfortable. You know, my higher power made it comfortable today. And so the idea is that he's flexible. He allows me to text him, take a picture of my writing, take a picture of my food, and text it to him. Sometimes I text him for a week on end. But how do I stay connected is I get to PhoneBridge, like I said. I make outreach calls. And for me, outreach calls are really important because not just that I'm reaching out to you, but I'm being accountable of what I'm going to do for that day. Because I may not have talked to Michael that day, but I'm talking to three other people today, letting them know, saying, I'm going to eat this. I'm going here to have an abstinent meal. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to do this. And it's a lot harder to take down the ship when you've got people with you than when you're by yourself, you know? So, you know, I have like 5 minutes or a couple minutes left. I am so grateful. You know, the idea, the concept that I can go through life and not be obsessed about sugar or flour, I can't say that I'm perfect. You know, sometimes I might say I'll live vicariously through somebody else and let you enjoy it. But I just don't crave it. The obsession has been lifted. You know, and that is like, you know, when I saw the See How concept and the food plan, I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Like this? But the idea is like, if you put this in front of me, I'll eat it. If you put this in front of me, I could eat that too. You know, and so that is the whole concept is I am still a compulsive eater. No matter how many years of recovery or how many days I have, you know, and I'm never going to be cured of this disease, you know, and thank God, you know, I for years I was looking for that magic pill that they grow on plants in another country, you know, watching infomercials, looking for that cure because I didn't want to do any work. I wanted the easy way out. And so, you know, my life is full. And so when I have sponsees that say my life is so busy and I think about what I do, and my travel schedule and getting up at whatever time in the morning to do whatever, I still get up at, you know, I go to bed at midnight and I get up at 7 o'clock and I call my sponsor. I may not be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but I do, you know, and I make the time to do it because once I start getting into that pattern of that something is more important, eventually the program's not going to be as important. And so, you know, for me, it's a serious program. It's a life or death program. I don't want to be out there on the sidelines hoping that I can get back into the game, you know. Somebody had a comment on one of the slides last night, like, I want to stay with the pack. I want to be with the pack, too. Because when you're falling away from the pack, you get picked off, you know. And it's really, because you don't have that support around you. And so it's like, what can I do for my recovery today? I can participate in it by being here, right? I can, you know, somebody asked me to be of service. I could be of service and step up, you know, and just be a part of, you know. If you're on a PhoneBridge meeting, volunteer to do a reading. Yeah. Or be a timer. Or share. Or read, you know, and participate. Because once you participate, you start feeling connected. And that is the connection that we get when we come together, you know. And I try to explain to somebody about conventions and like what you do there. And it's like the whole idea of, you know, it's a different feeling. Like when you're here together, you see people walking in the hallway and the elevator and the rooms and this and that. And somebody said the other day, I said, hey, how you doing? They said, how do you know my name? I said, it's on your badge. You know. But I always go with the idea of, you know, sometimes people say that you can't afford to go to a conference. You cannot afford to go to a conference. Because you don't know if you're going to hear something that's going to change the trajectory of your program for the next 20 years or 5 years or 5 days. And so, you know, sometimes the hardest part is showing up. But I'm glad that I'm here. And 1 minute? Or? Oh, really? All right. No. You know what? I just want to close with this, is that, you know, the grace of this program is that I'm allowed to go to funerals. You know, last year was a difficult year for my wife and I, in that we lost her mom and my stepdad. But I could tell you that, like, the joy of living, you know, even through funerals, is that I get to be present today. I get to be there for somebody and not have to worry about whether or not I'm going to get my abstinent food. You know, I take it with me. I take my little travel bag, you know. Who cares? Really? Who cares what somebody else thinks? And if they really care about it, I mean, if they have a problem with it, then they're really not your friends anyways, you know. And so, anyways, I want to thank you guys. I think I'm rambling now, so thank you for letting me share. Thank you.